Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen. We are back from a two-week break ourselves for another edition of Front Stretch's Stock Car Scoop. Brian Nolan here alongside Adam Cheek. And Adam, it's been a nice two-week break, my friend. Before we dive into this, how was your two-week break? Do anything fun? Just hang out, chill, go anywhere? How was your two-week break?
My two-week break was fantastic. I didn't really go anywhere, just kind of chilled at home, worked a little bit, you know, just kind of taking it easy for a couple of weeks, but I really enjoyed it. And I know we'll get into that a little bit in terms of what it means for NASCAR, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Been nice to have a break 2 weeks in the middle of the summer when it's super hot and everything. You just feel like you need a break. And I was very happy with that.
You and me both. I went paddleboarding a couple times. And then this past week it was raining, so I just really didn't do anything. But I like you, I also worked. So it's been a good two-week break. And like you were mentioning, we had a two-week break for the Olympics. And I think that basically just gave us all a refresher. It rejuvenated everybody from the drivers to the teams to the owners and more for a sprint to the end of the season, Adam. So do you think NASCAR should stick with this every year, even with the Olympics not going on?
You make a good point with the Olympics, because I've enjoyed watching some sports I don't often watch, which has been nice. I love watching the women's soccer team. They're great. As for the drivers, though, I think, you know, it's absolutely necessary. Our own Davey Siegel did a piece in his NASCAR Mailbox article this week on it, and sounds like a few of the drivers are behind it. I'm sure a lot of them are. And I've personally really enjoyed it, like we've already talked about, especially with that sprint to the end of the season kind of looming in our windshield. These guys need a couple of weeks to refresh themselves, take some time off, you know, mentally prep for the playoffs. And not even just the drivers, you know, the crews, everyone. The NFL has bye weeks, and they've got a two-week break before the Super Bowl. Hockey, basketball, baseball all have their kind of all-star breaks. Formula One has their summer break, which we're in right now. So I think it's a mainstay in a lot of sports, and I'm all for it in NASCAR.
Adam, there was some news that came out during this bye week, and that was Ross Chastain, as he was announced the driver of the number one car for Trackhouse Racing in 2022, the second car for that team. Adam, how do you see his performance stacking up against his time at Ganassi and then against his future teammate in Daniel Suarez?
Well, I think the rise of Trackhouse is going to be really good for Ross, and I think he and the team sort of parallel each other to some extent. They debuted in the Cup Series in the same year. To clarify, Ross in a really solid car, really solid equipment after kind of years of bouncing back and forth between series, but with Ganassi in a really solid equipment despite that previous Cup experience. And they've both really put together really solid performances in some of the races this year. Ross has had kind of a surge of late, really. And I think it also helps that Ross is staying in a Chevy stable, and it's basically with the same team kind of being absorbed into Trackhouse with that equipment and the Ganassi stable. I think we're going to see Suarez do better early on next year, since Ross might just need to mentally adjust some, being with the new team and all, with the next-gen car, all these factors kind of going into it. But I think Chastain and Suarez will be about even by season's end next year in terms of performance, where they run, results, all of that. And honestly, in 2023, I really see them settling in, both drivers having really good seasons. I think by that point, Trackhouse will be, I mean, they're already established, but I think they'll be even more established. And I also don't think a win's out of the question for either next year or even Suarez this year with Trackhouse. Could be a surprise lock into the playoffs, and he's been solid at Watkins Glen before. So I've got my eye on that 99 this weekend.
Adam, last thing here before we let you go. Chase Elliott has been the man to beat at Watkins Glen the last couple of seasons pre-COVID. I'll just be honest, is there any reason to think differently this weekend? And if so, which underdog is there able to potentially steal a playoff bid and pulled the upset on Sunday?
Well, my brain goes to a flat no for people able to beat Chase Elliott at Watkins Glen, especially with his previous success there. He's unreal, and I think it might take a bit for him to adjust back to the track on some level, being 2 years removed from his last win there, the last time the Cup Series was there. But I think he's going to settle right back in. You know, if there's an upset, I go back to my previous answer. Suarez is the guy I'd look to. He won a stage at Watkins Glen a few years ago, and if not him, Matt DiBenedetto really was no slouch at Road America a few weeks back, and I think he might be a factor late as well. Actually, that was a month back, but still.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut you off there, buddy. Final thing here before I let you go, like we do every single Thursday, picking a winner. I will go first, and I'm going to pick a little bit of an upset potentially. I think Chase Elliott will finish second. There is rain in the forecast, an afternoon shower, thunderstorm, so hopefully the Lightning stays away and potentially could be a rain race because they do have rain tires there. He was in a battle with the 2-car Brad Keselowski and the 9-car Marcus Ambrose in one of the greatest finishes of all time in NASCAR history a couple years ago. So I'm going to go with the 18-car of Kyle Busch. His son Brexton won a race last week or the week before in one of the bye weeks. And I think Brexton's dad is going to get the job done on Sunday. I got the 18-car of Kyle Busch getting the job done on Sunday, Adam.
Well, I'm going to be the party pooper here and just go with the 9. I can't help myself, and he's been so good there. But I got to go with Chase. But I will second what you said with Keselowski, Ambrose, Kyle Busch being part. That is one of the last slaps I can go back like every few months, and I will watch it. It is so good. Ambrose won that race. I think we'll see the 9 back there in victory lane on Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it. And for all the latest on the coverage from Watkins Glen, our Zach Sterniello and Davey Siegel will be on site reporting for you guys live at Watkins Glen. They got all the content there. I was a guest on the Front Stretch podcast with Davey Siegel, so check that out as well. And then for all the latest on Watkins Glen and their content, frontstretch.com. For myself, you can follow me on Twitter at TheBrianOwen, at Adam N. Cheek, and at Front Stretch. And Adam, from all of us here at Front Stretch, enjoy the races, and we'll talk with you on Sunday to recap the great event from Watkins Glen.